The psalm traditionally appointed for Ascension Day is Psalm 47. Hear the word of the Lord. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the most mind-boggling spectacles I ever saw was a brief science movie titled Powers of Ten. Many of us perhaps saw this in a high school physics class or something. As the film opens, you see a close-up view of a young couple in Grant Park in Chicago spreading out a picnic blanket. Then, every 10 seconds thereafter, the camera pulls back, each time increasing its distance from the couple by a power of 10. And so first the camera pulls back just 1 foot. 10 seconds later, it has pulled back 10 feet, and then 100 feet, and 1,000, and so on. And at first, of course, you can still see the young couple, but soon you can pick out only the small square of their picnic blanket in Grant Park. Seconds later, Grant Park has been reduced to a small green patch, as you can now see all of Chicago and the southern curve of Lake Michigan. Next, Chicago disappears, as you can see all of North America. Then you can see the whole planet, and then even our own sun reduces down to an ordinary-looking star. Within 2 minutes, the camera has pulled back to the outer rim of the Milky Way galaxy, and soon thereafter to the limits of the known universe. And once the edge of space is reached, the camera then hurtles back through space, finally zooming right back in on that couple in Grant Park. Well, as we have gathered here today on this Ascension Day, and before we dive into all the wonderful things that we're going to learn and reflect about today, I invite you to take a similar trip of the imagination as a way to frame what it is we are about today. Let's begin our journey out in the vastness of space and then zoom in. First, we enter the bright spiral of our own Milky Way galaxy, zooming past millions of bright suns. Then we enter our own solar neighborhood, zipping past Pluto, the rings of Saturn, the red planet Mars, and finally we can see the blue marble of the Earth. Then we focus down to Europe and Africa, descending more specifically to the Mediterranean basin. Finally, we see the region of Palestine, focusing on the country of Israel, itself no larger than Vermont. Then we move down to the modest city of Jerusalem, to the little hill that is called Mount Zion, finally coming in for a landing at Solomon's Temple long about the year 900 BC. Then, having made this cosmic journey to this little pinprick on the face of the earth, we witness a group of ancient Israelites singing Psalm 47 and thereby declaring to all who hear, this temple is the center of the universe. This is the throne of the Most High God, who is so almighty, so exalted, and so great that from this location on Mount Zion, he rules every nation, every king, every speck of the cosmos. And from the outside looking in, that claim is ridiculous. It's the height of audacity. Even if you were to limit your gaze to the then-known world, Israel was a very small, middling nation. compared to the vast empires of Persia and Egypt, compared to the splendors of Babylon's hanging gardens and Egypt's pyramids, compared to all that, Israel was just a little pimple on the face of the earth. So on what possible basis could those Israelites claim that they alone mattered, that they alone were the headquarters for the sovereign of all creation? And yet there it is in Psalm 47. Israel shouts its ardent belief that they are the theological center of the universe. It's a gutsy and audacious claim. And yet today, we are here to again claim the truth that Jesus has gone up amid shouts of triumph. Jesus has ascended to God's right hand, and he is right now the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the President of Presidents and the Prime Minister of Prime Ministers. Jesus rules, we say. Jesus is in charge. He is in charge whether people know it or not. He is in charge whether people like it or not. Ascension Day is not a day for modest claims. And if we're right about what we've come together to ponder, then no one and no thing is excluded from the scope of our ascension claims. If we're wrong, if what we've come together to think about is just kind of a pipe dream, well, then we are deluded so devastatingly as to evacuate all meaning from what we celebrate this day or ever as Christians. Jesus is Lord, we say, the church's earliest and shortest creed. Jesus is Lord. But Jesus cannot be Lord sort of, kind of, here and there, now and again, depending on your point of view. No. Today, as much as ever, to say that Jesus has ascended amid shouts of triumph requires audacity, pluck, guts. And so in the hours to come, this day, as we ponder the ins and outs of why the ascension matters, why this is often a neglected doctrine, why it constitutes such a big part of our Christian hope, as we do all that, let's not forget the ascension audacity inherent in all that we believe about this day. Let's savor that audacity. Because wrapped up somewhere inside this day's claim to Jesus' cosmic lordship is the heartbeat of the gospel, the rhythm of the God who has forever and ever taken great relish to say again and again to us human beings, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please join me in the Ascension Day prayer. Jesus Christ, Mediator and High Priest, we thank you for becoming human and for experiencing the joys and sorrows of life, which assures us that you are able to sympathize and rejoice with us. We praise you for the many joys of life, for the beauty of creation, for work in this world, for the growth of your kingdom, for the greatest source of our happiness, the gift of eternal life. As our mediator, you stand before God, petitioning him on our behalf, and so we boldly bring before you our prayers for creation and its care, for the nations of the world, for our nation and its leaders, for this community and those in authority, for the church universal as it works on your behalf, for the local church in its ministry, for persons with particular needs. We pray this in your strong name, O Christ, our mediator and high priest. Amen.